In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Fallen man changes God. This is true of every false religion. They all change the true God into something that he is not. But it is also true of every heterodox denomination within Christianity. Baptists, non-denominationals, Eastern Orthodox, Reformed, and so on. They change the true God. Certainly not to the same extent as these false religions. We still consider them Christian. But they have altered, adjusted, tweaked, and ever so slightly modified the Holy Trinity. They still confess that the Trinity is three in one. But by denying that baptism saves, or by denying justification by faith alone, or even by denying the office of the Holy Ministry, they have not simply changed Scripture, but they have changed who God is. It's tempting to ignore it. They're seemingly minor differences, and in this progressive society, wouldn't it be far better to set aside these little details and just unite together so we can spread the gospel more? It seems pious, noble, and godly, but it's not the stance that we take. It's not the stance that the church has ever taken. So on this day, June 25th, 1530, seven Lutheran princes and two Lutheran cities gathered before the emperor to boldly confess the truth of God's word in what is known as the Augsburg Confession. 200 more gathered inside that hall to listen, while hundreds more gathered outside as the confession was read in their own native tongue of German. In 28 clear and concise articles, they listed what they believed and also what they rejected. There was no fence sitting, no ambiguous language, no agree to disagree, no let's just set aside our differences to fight those invading Muslim Turks. None of that. But they confessed boldly and confidently. These laymen, not the pastors, not the theologians, but the laymen risked their kingdoms, their power, and all their honor, all for the sake of Christ. There was no freedom of speech, even for these princes. At a moment's notice, they could have been arrested and killed. Yet still they boldly confessed Christ, for his glory was at stake. Confessing divides. When you make a confession, you have put a line in the sand. It separates Christians into only two groups, the Orthodox, that is, those who confess all that Scripture teaches, and the Heterodox, those that confess some of what Scripture teaches, or those that understand God rightly and those that have misunderstandings of God to at least some varying degree. Our job is not to judge their hearts. We are not God. We are not the judge. We can't even see their hearts or if faith dwells there. But our job is to judge their confession. It's not about everyone agreeing with us. Who cares about us? But it's about everyone agreeing with the Word of God. It's about everyone confessing God rightly and knowing the full glory of that Holy Trinity. We love doctrine not simply for doctrine's sake, but because only doctrine reveals the true God to us. So if you set aside doctrine, you have just set aside God. We want purity in doctrine in all its points because only that true God can save us. There is no salvation outside of him. Only he can quench hell's fires and open heaven to us. Only he can crush Satan under his feet. Only he can see us through the trials and tribulations of life. Only he is our Lord and Savior. From start to finish, from creation to Good Friday to this altar to the very last day, only he is our forgiving Savior. There is no one else. So anytime mankind tries to change God, they always diminish him. He never gets more loving, more forgiving, more helpful. But instead, he becomes more fickle like us. He becomes more harsh like we are with our children. Let God be God, and you let him be that merciful, forgiving, compassionate, gracious Savior. but still confessing divides. Many change God. Everyone understands that confessing divides, so many change these doctrines or simply set them aside for the sake of unity. They downplay doctrine and so downplay God. We too are tempted to do the same, so we fit in a little better with just this generic American Christianity. We are tempted to ignore our differences so we can join together for national prayer days, retreats, or campouts because they're fun and enjoyable. We're tempted to set aside our differences so families don't squabble. But when we keep silent, we are allowing false ideas of God to spread. We try to say religion is private, and perhaps this is one of the greatest lies of Satan, and I have no idea how he convinced almost all of Christianity of this, that religion is somehow private or one's faith is personal. Nothing could be further from the truth. On the last day, Christ doesn't privately usher some to hell and some to heaven, but publicly for all to see. And he himself just said in our text for today, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father in heaven." So religion is not private, it is public. You confess because you believe. What you believe becomes your confession. And to confess, you have to be speaking to someone else. You can't confess to yourself. So religion is not personal or private, it is very public. Your faith is public. Faith cannot keep silent, but it is compelled to confess. Yeah, there may be consequences, because confessing always divides. It always draws a line in the sand. For us, mostly minor consequences. Not one of us is at risk of losing our life for what we believe, but still we must confess. We dare not change him. He is our merciful Savior. So do we fear the opinion of our friends more than the opinion of our judge? Do we fear not having lovely family holidays, or not even having them show up because of what we confess, more than we fear being divided from Christ? And do not fail to confess, but confess him boldly and confidently. You don't go out and pick fights. You're not causing arguments or strife. But when given the opportunity, and it will come, confess your faith. Not to win an argument, not to make everyone think like you, but simply to confess who Christ is and what he has done. Confess him with your words. Confess him with the words of Scripture. You do not need to sound like me or any other theologian. Simply confess the creeds if you know not what else to say. And leave the results to God. Two worthless birds are sold for a penny, and yet not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. If he pays so close attention to these worthless birds, how much greater attention does he pay to you? You are his beloved children. For you he shed his blood. For you he has opened the kingdom of God, so that you might live with him forever. He knows the very hairs of your head. So do not be afraid. Believe in him and confess him. And if your family wants nothing to do with you, understand they have not rejected you but Christ. But at least they have heard the truth. And they cannot stand before God and say that they did not know. And if your friends mock and ridicule you for believing in this, they have to answer to God, not to you. You are simply called to confess. Think of those princes almost 500 years ago, and how God used their confession to benefit us this very day. By grace, we believe in this thing called justification by faith alone, that Christ is our everything, and without him we have nothing. Our works cannot salvation gain. They merit only endless pain. By grace, we confess even as they confess. By grace, you have studied this Augsburg Confession. And what a tremendous gift that has been. So we still need to confess this day. For you do not know when, where, or how God will use your confession. You are simply called to speak and trust that God will use your words in the way that he desires. We still need to confess. We still need to study this Augsburg Confession, perhaps even more so in our day than in days past. You've seen how many churches there are out there. You drive past half of them on the way to this one. All with a different interpretation of Scripture. All with something else to say. Perhaps even some paying little attention to doctrine, and so diminishing God himself. This most copied book in the world, the Bible, is the most misunderstood book in the world. So we still need to confess our faith, even as those at Augsburg confessed their faith. For those who reject this Augsburg Confession are also rejecting Scripture. Now understand, this confession is not Scripture. It doesn't tell us what to believe. Only the Bible does that. But it does lay forth clearly a clear and concise exposition of what Scripture teaches us in these various articles. And this church, Living Word, prizes that confession so highly that it has put it in her constitution that all doctrine and practice shall be in accord with that, because it is a correct interpretation of the Word of God. And every Lutheran pastor swears to uphold this confession because it is a correct teaching of the Word of God. Sadly, many have not studied it. Even sadder, many set it aside as a boring, old-date document that just prevents a church from growing. And many church members have never heard of it, much less even read it. So study and learn your faith by studying and learning how the confessors confessed their faith. And as you study that confession, you will find only a gracious and merciful God who forgives you for the sake of his Son. Confess him. And do not be afraid if others look down on this little parish as standoffish, divisive, stale, or boring. Confess him, and do not worry if they will view you as somehow unloving. There is only one judge, your Savior. There is only one God who does not change, so that you might be saved. He has still sacrificed his Son for you. You are still washed into him. Heaven is still yours, regardless of what others think of you. So do not worry yourself about what they think about this church or any other, about this church or about you. For really, there is nothing stale or boring about Christianity. So there is nothing stale or boring about the Augsburg Confession, but permeating each and every one of those articles is a gracious and merciful Savior who lovingly gives his Son into death and then gives him to you in word and sacraments. That is what Scripture teaches. So how can that be boring? That is who God is. So how could we ever reject that? That is what they confessed at Augsburg. That is what we confess this very day. For there in Christ alone we find peace and rest. There in Christ alone we have confidence on the day of judgment. Our consciences are put at ease because of Christ and what he has done. So we will not fear. We will not be afraid. But like those princes at Augsburg, we will take our stand solely on the Word of God and confess, even as they confessed. For to confess the Augustana is nothing more than to believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. May God help us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.